T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yes, indeed. Taking a walk on that fourth and final hour wild side. Welcome in. Sports Talk here. Happy Mardi Gras. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Anything goes. AMA, ask me anything this final hour here of Sports Talk. Checking in on LSU baseball here shortly. They're underway against Eastern Kentucky University. I'll get you the update here momentarily as we pull it up. Favorite part about Mardi Gras? You tell me. And also, what's your best LSU Saints and Mardi Gras memory? And give me your worst LSU Saints and Mardi Gras nightmare. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. For me, I already talked about it a little bit. And that was the 09. The best would be 09, covering the Saints on the sidelines. 2019 covering LSU this year and what the magical season they had. Carnival, getting a ride in Bacchus, getting a ride on parades with my kids. The nightmare would be the Nola no call. LSU, the 2011 national championship game where they got spanked by Alabama. And I haven't really had any nightmares with Mardi Gras. It's always been good to me. Share your stories at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. All right, we'll take a break and step away and come back, and your calls are next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Good to be with you. Thanks for hanging out here on Sports Talk, wrapping it up here in about 45 minutes. Ian in Folsom, what's going on, Ian? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's happening, man? Look, I'm hearing about all this Drew Brees, Teddy, and Taysom Hill talk. Look, I think the best thing for the Saints, get rid of Teddy.
Get rid of who?
And let him run the franchise after.
Wait. Say that again. You cut out. What'd you say?
I think this Teddy, Drew Brees, and Taysom talk, I think Teddy needs to go and Taysom needs to run the Saints.
You been drinking?
You know what I mean?
You been drinking, Ian?
A little bit. Not much. Okay. I'm on my way home from work. Riding in traffic. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
But, I think Taysom is what the Saints need as their face of their franchise because he is a threat at multiple positions. You know, he could do anything and everything you want him to do.
And let's not get too overzealous here. I mean, he still has to improve as a passer in terms of accuracy.
I agree with that. But he is multiple threat at any position on offense. You can run him in a wildcat, you know, behind the center, shotgun. You could do whatever with him. And I think him playing behind Breeze gives him the experience that he needs to run a franchise. I mean, that's what he wants to do.
Just because he studied – listen, this is one of those things, Ian, that drives me crazy. Just because a guy sat there behind a certain Hall of Fame quarterback – doesn't mean he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Doesn't mean that's going to do a whole lot. Yeah, sure, he might learn, but can he take that and apply that and what he learned off the field, on the field? And that's a much more difficult task to do than people want to talk about.
I agree. But I think after this year, if Breeze can mentor him 100% and he take it all into account, I think he can. He ain't going to be a Drew Breeze. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I think he can take the Saints to the next level like Drew Brees did in 2006 when he came.
We'll find out. I hope so,
because I really like the guy. I met him twice, and he's down to earth just like Drew Brees. And I just think that through growth, he can do it.
I hope so.
So, all right, man. Thank you for taking my call, bro.
All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's not just look at, as I navigate these waters of the Taysom-Teddy conversation, I'm going to try to be as fair and as balanced as I can with each of them. I'm not ready to hand Taysom Hill the franchise right now. I'm not certain that he's the guy. In fact, I'll go a little further. I think if I had to make a decision right now, if Drew Brees was out of the picture, I'd probably hand it to Teddy because he's proven. He's an NFL starter. He's been a starter. He's been in a playoff game as a starter. He's made a Pro Bowl. Taysom Hill hasn't had that opportunity. Can he do it? We don't know. But I'm not going to sit up here and say, oh, Taysom has no warts. He's got warts. And the other thing is, what stinks about whether it's Teddy or Taysom, the standard that they're going to be held to is unbelievably high. Because they're the guy that follows Drew Brees. You kind of want to be, in a certain way, the guy that followed the guy that was Drew Brees. You want to be the guy that followed the guy that followed Drew Brees. That's who you want to be. But Taysom and Teddy don't have that luxury. But there's some things that Taysom has to work on. I think as a passer, Teddy has the edge in terms of accuracy. Upside, I think Taysom has the edge. I think overall athletic ability and intrigue and things, different things that you can do with him, Taysom has the edge. Teddy's not a great scrambler. He can improvise in the pocket. He can manipulate the pocket, but he's not known to take off down the field, you know, for 10, 12, 15 yards. Taysom can do that. Tough decisions await the Saints. That's all I know. I'm glad I don't have to make them. I'm trying to log into the LSU baseball game. Can't do it right now. I forgot my password. I've got so many passwords, usernames. I can't remember them all. I got to start writing them down somewhere. Then, of course, you write them down somewhere. They get compromised. You got to go, you know, change them all. Too many passwords. Watch ESPN, SEC Network, Disney Plus, all this other stuff. Let's see what the text line has to say. 870-870. Who did Rodgers follow? What about Andrew Luck? Aaron Rodgers followed Brett Favre, and the odds of him becoming the player that he has become were slim. The Packers jumped the shark. What about Andrew Luck? He's still under contract with the Indianapolis Colts. If he wanted to play for any other team other than the Indianapolis Colts, that other team would have to compensate the Colts in some way, shape, or form. A first-round pick, second-round pick, what have you. Biggest known and knock on Taysom is the accuracy and decision-making. It's fair. Very fair. That's right. These people just don't remember the good old days or the good old bad days when we thought, man, Danny Werfel might be the guy. Oh, that Billy Joe Hobert. Man, they found him from Buffalo. Came in and won three games. Yeah, there's the guy. Billy Joe Tolliver. Yeah. The Redhead. The Red Rocket. The original Red Rocket. Could be a long time. Could be a long time. Could be a short time. Just don't know. But I think the odds are it could be a long time before the Saints see a quarterback as good as Drew Brees. Big Mike on the West Bank. What's going on, Big Mike? You're on WWL.
Hey, man, how you doing today? I listen a lot, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I've been listening to a lot of these guys talk about the quarterback scenario, so I'm going to give you mine. The only downfall I see with keeping Brees is the fact that we might lose Teddy.
Wait, say that again?
I said the only downfall with keeping Brees, in my opinion at this point, is we might lose Teddy. That's it.
Yeah, you might.
Yeah.
If you're keeping Drew and you're keeping Taysom, you're not keeping Teddy Bridgewater.
That's my point. That's why I say that the only negative about keeping Drew this year.
Yeah, but you almost have to, right? You're not gonna let Drew walk, right?
Oh no, of course not. Of course not. But that's my point. That's the only negative. There's no other reason not to keep Drew except you're keeping Drew for 1 year. You could possibly have Teddy for 10, 12, 13 years, maybe.
Who, Taysom or Teddy?
Teddy.
Yeah, 10 to 12, I think is fair.
And that's my only point. Keeping Breeze for maybe 1 year to lose maybe a 12-year starter without a real replacement. My thing with Taysom, I love this on Taysom Hill, but he can't beat Breeze. He's a third-string quarterback. He's not better than our two running backs. He's not better than the receivers we have. He's not better than a tight end at purely their position. So he is what he is. If you put him in one position constantly, they're going to scheme against him.
Yeah, and then we'll pretty have good, to though. I think you're selling him short. I think he could be a starting slot receiver, tight end in this league if that was his true position.
I agree. I definitely agree he could be, but he's not on this team. He's not better than the guys ahead of him on this team. He's not better than Mike. I don't think he's a better receiver than Ted Ginn or Carr or Traquan. So he can't move those guys out of their position. You know what I mean? I'm not taking nothing away from Taysom. I love some Taysom. He's very talented. But he is what he is. He's a spot player right now.
Yeah, right now, but we're having a conversation about the future of him being a quarterback. Right now, that is what it is. I mean, he can't control that and how they use him.
I'm not talking about how they use him. I'm just talking about his skill. I mean, he has great skill set, but I don't think he's better than any of those guys in their position.
Okay, what does that matter, though? Because ultimately, we're talking about a franchise quarterback. What does that matter?
I was just making a point with people talking about he can do everything.
Oh, right. No, you're right.
As a pure quarterback, he's not better than Teddy R. Breeze, in my opinion. And that's why I say the only downfall.
Fair. That's fair, Big Mike. That's fair. Let me ask you this. Do you think the upside is higher with Teddy or Taysom?
I personally think, as a quarterback, Teddy.
You think that? See, I think Teddy is what it is right now. I think the higher upside is Taysom because if you can polish off some of his game, his game's rough around the edges. Teddy's a refined quarterback. He's a refined, polished quarterback. I think Taysom Hill's raw. So that's why I think the upside's higher.
I don't think he's fully refined yet because I think he was starting to get it refined in Minnesota before he got injured. So I think he's still got some polishing to be done with Teddy. I don't think Teddy's reached his ceiling. And my point with Taysom is if you put him at purely a quarterback, they can scheme against that position. Look what happened to the kid in Baltimore this year. In that one playoff game, they kept him in the pocket and they schemed against his strength.
Yeah, and that's why you ultimately need to be able to throw the football.
Exactly, and that's why I think, back to my original point, the only negative with keeping Breeze is you may lose your future with Teddy. That's it. I love all three of the quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. I love the Saints. I'm a diehard. But looking at long term, keeping Breeze 1 year and losing Teddy is the only negative I see. That's my only point.
Others would tell you, try to tell you that Breeze is washed up, and that's the negative.
Tell him to quit smoking that crack, man. Look at his record. Look at his stats. He has the highest completion percentage in history.
Well, you're talking about rational people. You're talking to a rational human being and me. Not right. Others are going to be as rational as you and I.
I think a lot of those guys are haters. They're not Saints fans, and they're looking for something to pick on the Saints.
Oh, one of them's a Steelers fan. We know that for sure.
Right.
Anthony.
And if that last playoff game, there's no way I would put anybody else in that situation but Drew Brees. To take out your Hall of Fame, I hear guys talk about, man, Taysom should have been in. He was a hot guy. Man, please. If Taysom had gone there and thrown himself in, they were like, oh, man, Pete don't need to be coaching anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's foolishness, man. It's not real football fan. I think they've been drinking or smoking or something.
Who knows?
But, yeah, anyway.
Big Mike, enjoy
your
weekend.
Man. I listen to you guys every day. You enjoy your weekend as well, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in.
I'm not Marines. I'm Navy, but simplify.
Anchors away, man. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, sir, as well. You have a good evening.
Hi, you too. Bye. Mike made a lot of sense. I still think that Taysom has the better upside. I think Teddy can improve, but when I say upside, who has the greatest ceiling? right? And I think the greatest ceiling is on Taysom because of how athletic he is. He's the most intriguing because there's so many different things you can do with him at quarterback in an offense. Teddy, you're going to run a lot of the same stuff that Drew's been running. Similar. Taysom's going to run, he's going to have some different wrinkles and different ways to attack a defense. He's going to unveil some different options for Sean Payton. David and Chalmette, what's going on, David? You're on WWL.
How's it going, Christian?
Good, thank you.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, man.
All right, so just real quick, I want to give Saints fans a little education in where we think we are with the quarterbacking situation going forward. So Drew Brees is going to be under contract. You wouldn't want anybody else under center at this point. There's no statistical data that suggests that he's in a decline. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Month in December. December, that's the month before playoffs, people. That's when you want to be playing your best football, and he was the best quarterback in the NFL. And then, if we are talking about Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, obviously we're not going to be able to offer Teddy Bridgewater the kind of money that he's going to garner on the open market. So we're going to lose him. So Taysom Hill, you're going to tender him a restricted free agent offer. Hopefully he signs it. If not, I mean, you want to keep him. Point blank and simple, you want to keep Taysom Hill on the roster. If I'm the Saints, though, I draft a quarterback. There's some really good prospects in the first and second round that you can get, that you could develop if you don't think Taysom Hill is the future. Jacob Eason, Jordan Love, Jake from State Farm. There's quarterbacks to pick. So we're going to lose Teddy. It's unfortunate. I really like him. I was at the University of Louisville when he was there. But I think you draft a quarterback and you keep Taysom Hill. And all these people that are smoking the pipe, the things that Drew Brees has hit the trash bin, or they just need a dose of reality. And that's all I got. I'll listen to your opinion.
All right, David. I don't really have much to add. Enjoy your weekend, all right?
All right, you too.
All right. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870 in the top of the third. Bottom of the second. It's scoreless between LSU and Eastern Kentucky University. The Colonels, EKU. Right now, let's see. Alex Milazzo is at the plate for the Tigers. We'll step away and come back, continue your conversation, our conversation. Your phone call is at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Christian Garrick here with you. On the line with us is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots now and two great tropical flavors. Ross, how are you? Thanks for the time.
Christian, awesome, man. What's up?
Doing good, man. We just got done wrapping up an interview yesterday with Saints head coach Sean Payton, and he was with us for 35 minutes. I mean, there was a ton of things that he covered. One of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk to him about because it happened later after our interview is the expansion of the NFL playoffs from 12 teams to 14, seven in each conference from six. Do you like this new format change proposal?
All right, so there's a couple different ways to look at it, right, Christian? I mean, as a player or former player, you're asking four teams to play one more game. So 12.5% of the teams to play one more game. And for doing that, you're putting a ton of money into the salary cap. You know, those two more wild card game weekend standalone games bring in a lot of revenue for the league, which obviously the players get a split of. Sounds like it'll be 48.5%. So from a player's perspective, love it. I'm a broadcaster. I like, you know, more teams having a chance to make the playoffs. I like week 16, week 17. More teams feeling like, all right, they might be able to go ahead and get that seventh seed. Maybe not six, but they might be able to get that last spot. And I like that we're going to have two more games to watch. The two concerns I have, and maybe these are positives for the Saints, I don't know, but it makes the number one seed, I believe, overly important. So, like, right now, man, the number one seed is a big deal. The number two seed is a big deal. Not as big a deal, but still a big deal. With this new format, the number one seed is everything. And I just don't feel like the number two seed is very important. So if there's a team that's just awesome some year, like the Ravens, you know, the other teams aren't really even trying for that much, because there's not that much of a difference in my mind between like the second or the fourth seed.
Yeah, that's kind of how I viewed it too. It puts a little bit of an overemphasis on the one seed while it diminishes some others. But for me, Ross, I'm a football junkie. Sign me up to watch six more playoff games on Wild Card Weekend. I mean, six total on Wild Card Weekend. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a single human being I'm aware of that when we get to the playoffs are going to say, oh, man, this stinks that I have to watch two more playoff games this weekend. Exactly nobody would say that. But it also kind of feels to me like, you know, at some point 10 years from now, when they're doing the next CBA, now they'll make the argument, well, it's not fair that only one team gets a bye, and they'll add two more playoff teams. It'll be 8-8. You know that's happening. They're just going to wait till the next one for that.
Ross, were you at all surprised that Drew Brees decided to come back for one more year?
Not really, no. Usually when a guy's not going to come back, they've known that for a while, and they know that. And he's still playing well enough, and the team's good enough. I think it makes sense for one more year. I personally think everything times out perfectly. You know, I think they put the first-round tender on Taysom Hill. I'm not sure why Sean Payton keeps talking about how complicated it is. I put the first-round tender on him. I think he's the heir apparent. You have him in the role he's been in for one more year. Bridgewater walks. You have Brees for one more year. And then everything sort of works out, in my mind, pretty smoothly to cater the offense around Taysom Hill in 2021 if you like him as much as, you know, Sean and everybody seems to like him.
I agree with you about Taysom Hill being the guy, the heir apparent, if you will. But what do you do this offseason? Because the chances of you keeping Bridgewater, if you're the Saints, are slim to none. So, and if you want to keep Taysom in his usual role, you can't really have him as the number two backup behind Brees. Do you expect them to sign a veteran, you know, minimum kind of contract to be a true number two should something happen to Brees where he would play in that game and then Taysom would play in the following game as the ultimate number two? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I think they'll sign somebody, but I'm not sure that that person isn't the three, meaning you have the role for Taysom Hill, but if Drew goes down, I think they put Taysom Hill in. I think that that guy's there just in case Taysom gets hurt and Drew Brees gets hurt in the same game. I don't think it's that valuable of a spot. I think it's a guy that you feel like can get you through a game.
What do you think Teddy Bridgewater gets on the open market?
Not nearly as much as there have been reports that he will. You know, if you look at it, you got to tell me the team, man. I mean, you got to tell me what team we're talking about because, you know, the Colts, I think they're going to get Rivers. You know, the Bucks, I don't think so. I think they'd rather bring Jameis Winston back. Maybe the Carolina Panthers, maybe. But I kind of feel like they want to draft somebody. I just don't think that anybody looks at Teddy as the guy for the next 5 to 10 years. I think if anything, he comes in and competes. You know, maybe he competes with the Chargers with Tyrod Taylor until whoever they draft is the starter. Or maybe he does go to Carolina and Carolina gives him a spin for a year to see what he has. And if he's bad or not good enough, they draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next year in Carolina. Maybe Chicago brings him in as Mitch Trubisky insurance, kind of like the Titans did with Ryan Tannehill. But I don't think there's going to be that big of a market for him monetarily.
Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider here on Sports Talk at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. Ross, Joe Burrow, obviously the presumptive number one pick to Cincinnati. If you're the Bengals, are you really entertaining any ideas of trading that pick?
Well, I wasn't until Joe started talking like he might not want to be there. You know, they'll have a conversation at the combine, and I certainly would want to know why he's kind of beating around the bush and talking around it like he is right now. He certainly changed his tune from what it was right after the season when he said he's happy to go anywhere and play football, and if someone's going to give him money, he's happy to go there. Somebody's gotten to him, and he's got some strategy that he's working right now. I'm not personally a big fan of it. If he does not want to play for the Bengals, I can live with that. I absolutely can. I don't have a problem with a player trying to do his best for their career, but then I would just kind of come out and say it. It just kind of feels like he's beating around the bush, and he gets asked about it multiple times. He says, well, it's a long process, and they have their process. And I'll say this to you, Christian. Mike Brown in Cincinnati, he would be number one ranked on the list of owners that would just make you sit out the whole year out of spite.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not logical. He is not rational. If they draft Burrow and Burrow tries to play a power play, he might have him sit all year. And maybe then he trades him the day before the draft the next year, but then Burrow just missed out on a lot of money for a year. And if he gets traded, well, where does he get traded? Or if he goes back in next year's draft, I think Trevor Lawrence goes ahead of him. So then he loses money. I would not mess with Mike Brown, because it's hard to do things logically with people that aren't logical. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're notoriously cheap. And look, we can go on for days and days about the Bengals organization. Ross, Tom Brady, is he a Patriot or another team?
I think he ends up with the Patriots. Would not be shocked if he went elsewhere. I think Belichick and Brady, if it was just left up to those two, he'd be elsewhere. But Robert Kraft is the difference maker.
Why do you think Belichick's so willing to part ways with him?
Because that's what he's done with every guy ever. I mean, you know, if you look at it, even when I was there, Willie McGinnis, Mike Vrabel, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy. I mean, you go right down the line. He's moved on. When he feels like it's time to move on, he moves on. I think the only reason why he's not going to move on from Brady is because Robert Kraft really, really doesn't want him to. And Kraft is an unbelievable deal maker. He's the reason why the last CBA got done. And I think the thought of Brady in another uniform is just too much for him.
Ross, do you think the NFL and their intention of trying to legislate more safety in the game has ultimately made it more difficult for the officials to officiate the game?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't really think that's the problem. I think that they've let too many good officials leave. They've let too many good official coordinators leave. They don't use technology as well as they should. It's really disappointing. I mean, it's clearly gotten worse.
Ross, do you think that's the biggest threat to the NFL is poor officiating?
Probably not. And I say that because even when there's bad officiating, and you guys have dealt with it more than anybody else, it just seems like it gets more attention. And it's, you know, I know last year the Saints fans boycotted the Super Bowl, but, you know, there was bad officiating this year again with the push-off by Kyle Rudolph, and everybody still watched. We all just talked about it and said that was bad. They should have called it. But it doesn't – it's almost like nothing can hurt the NFL.
Certainly seems that way. They're almost impervious to heat. Ross, always a pleasure, man. Good stuff. Thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Christian. Take care, bud.
All right, you too. I don't know that I agree with Ross Tucker about making it too hard on the officials to officiate this game. I think – I'm on record in saying it. I think that because the NFL and the owners trying to protect their backsides against litigation and lawsuits have made a concerted effort to make this game safe, and I get it, that's their charge, but it's in turn made it that much difficult for these officials to do their jobs correctly and more importantly, consistently. So I'm not trying to cut any slack for the officials. I'm not trying to, you know, look, they've been bad. They were inconsistent. But I think the league shares in some culpability about these officials. And I also think that a lot of it has to do with professional development and training. They don't have it at the level that they should, that full-time employees should. And while it sounds good to say, oh, full-time employees, I'll learn how to talk eventually. Full-time employees, not going to happen. Then you're talking about insurance, other you know, other retirement, other things that the league's going to be on the hook for, and I don't know that they want to be. But it's the best part-time job on the planet. You work 20 weekends a year, if you're good enough, postseason, 20 weekends a year, 20 games a year, making $130,000 a year from that job. I'd take a part-time job like that, especially with no accountability whatsoever. Knowing that if I messed up a call, it's just going to be a, oh, shucks, we missed another one. Sorry, they say the next day after they miss a call. I'd sign me up for that job. I'd do it in a heartbeat. Hope everybody is safe out there on the carnival, the parade route. Enjoy carnival. If you're new to the city, you're just coming in, man, this is a great town. It's a great party. It's the greatest free show on earth. Just make sure you do pay attention to the rules and the do's and don'ts of Mardi Gras. You don't want to find yourself in jail for 4 or 5 days because you did something that just NOPD is not going to tolerate, like going to the bathroom, relieving yourself behind a building. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll go to jail. You can do other things. You can get pretty inebriated right there. Nobody's going to say tell you anything as long as you're not bothering anybody. Just don't urinate or go relieve yourself behind a building. It's a surefire way to go to OPP. Just a little reminder. All right, we'll step away and come back here. This is Sports Talk on WWL. All right, winding down here on Sports Talk ahead of the big Mardi Gras weekend. Before I forget, thank you, sir. Joey Falgu at Master Control. Great job as always, man. Appreciate your efforts. LSU trails Eastern Kentucky 1-0 in the top of the third. Right now, let's see. Cal State Fullerton and Tulane. That won't be underway until 9 o'clock tonight. Jay, what's going on, Jay, on line one? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
I just want to tell you, I listen to you all the time, you and Abe, and you do a great job, man. I don't know where you got your training. I'm not blowing smoke. I have no reason to, you know? But
Jay, thank really you very much. Job. I appreciate your kind words.
You're welcome. I thought you started out saying some LSU Tulane things. I wanted to tell you something about that if you got time.
Go ahead.
Okay. LSU Tulane, that's when Tulane was really competitive. You weren't even born, I don't think. 1973, maybe.
I wasn't born. 5 years before my birthday.
It was my birthday, November 28th, right? And Tulane, my girlfriend, senior in high school, real quick, gave me tickets. It was a sellout at Tulane Stadium, you know, 82,000 people. And I said, can I take my dad to it? I'm a Tulane fan. He's an LSU fan, right? And, you know, she said, yeah, I'd like to go. But I said, well, my dad and I would like to go. You know how it goes, you know. But I just wanted to call you in with that. But I'm retired in Wallace, Scott. I wish I was out there right now.
Man, thanks for your time, man. You guys are my heroes. You know, being able to do that. How many years did you do?
25
at NOPD.
I came so close to going to the Marine Corps. Oh man, I regret that to this day. When I was 17, you want to hear a real funny story?
Sure.
Okay, NOPD, we walking down Bourbon Street, we see two mounted men, you know how the mounted men look all pretty with their boots on and tights and everything. I told Bob Mitchell this, okay? And I know a couple of the mounted men on their horses, and one of them says, Jay, go get my horse a gin and tonic, okay? So I go get this horse a gin and tonic, okay, from a daiquiri shop. Christian, I'm not lying to you here. The thing's gigantic, right? And the horse starts drinking a gin and tonic.
No.
This is before the days of cell phones and all that, because we would have all been gone, right? You know? I mean, a horse is kicking it back. Picture a horse drinking a gin and tonic, okay?
Man, you're not pulling my leg here, Jay.
I swear, Chris, I swear my daughter's head. Look, Chris, I had Bob Mitchell. He was talking about, because I listen to y'all all the time, you know, Bob Mitchell was laughing his, you know, went off. And I swear, the horse is drinking a gin and tonic. I tell friends of that, and they said, the horse gets drunk. I said, what are you, crazy? A horse gets drunk on gin and tonic? Did it drink a 10 gallons, right? Christian, you
Jay,
just
man,
it.
Come
it
on. Telling, I can't help but I want to believe you, but I just can't.
I swear, you got to picture this, okay? Two horsemen, two mounted men, okay? The horse has a big, gigantic daiquiri cup, in his mouth, kicking it back. Half of it's flowing down his face and stuff. And we just sitting around laughing, and the girls are laughing, giggling, and all dewy-like. And they taking pictures and everything. No cell phones or nothing like this. I'm going back to 1987 or something.
Jay.
You know?
I want to believe this. With every fiber of my soul, I want to believe it. It just sounds, and I'm not calling you a liar by no stretch. I'm just saying it sounds like one of the more far-fetched tales, or not tales, far-fetched stories I've ever heard.
Christian, Bob Mitchell was laughing his ass. I mean, he was on the floor. I'm telling you, this is a true story.
I wish you had somebody that could corroborate it.
Well, they do. I don't know if they would. But
I got you. Jay, make sure the statute of limitations has run out. You don't need get caught doing that.
Hey, Christian, it's great talking to you. I listen to you almost every day. You do a great job, man.
Jay, thanks for the phone call, and thanks so much for the kind words. All right, that's pretty much a wrap for Sports Talk. Back on Monday for Lundy Gras. And then join us for the Mardi Gras Mambo, me and Tommy Tucker, excuse me. On Tuesday, Dave Cohen kicks things off, Tuesday morning, Fat Tuesday from Desi Vegas Steakhouse on St. Charles. That's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. That's always a blast every year. Tommy and I are, I'm sure, going to take a couple of jabs at each other. He's George on Seinfeld. He's paranoid. He wants a cancer. Get out of here. He didn't get a cancer. Get out of here. If you're a Seinfeld fan, you know what I'm talking about. All right, I want to thank, once again, Joey Falgu at Master Control, Mark Menard for helping us put together the program, and you, the audience, for being a contributing factor today to the show. Some of you guys I didn't agree with, most of you I did, but thanks for your interaction in today's show. And also, last but not least, our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. Everybody have a safe carnival weekend. I'm Christian Garrick. Semper Fi. I'm out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.